This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم ما بعد. اليوم الخامس من شهر رمضان المبارك 1445 الموافق ل 16 من شهر مارس 2024، نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك الداء والدواء. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه، وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ورفع درجته في العليين. So inshallah we continue from where we stopped, hoping to be able to finish the book before the end of Ramadan inshallah azza wa jal, and move on to the Ashraf al-Sa'ah inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us patience. As we said, inshallah we continue studying until death. Generation after generation, I have seen a lot of generation in UAE. So inshallah, we'll stay a longer time and do the best inshallah. يقول المؤلف رحمه الله فصل. This is a new chapter that we'll be talking about. حب الزوجة من كمال الحب. Loving the wife is is part of the completeness of the حب. That means if a person loves his wife, he is doing an act of worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him for that. هنا قال وأما محبة الزوجات فلا لوم على المحب فيها بل هي من كماله وقد امتن سبحانه وتعالى على عباده فقال ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون وجعل المرأة سكنا للرجل يسكن قلبه إليها وجعل بينهما خالص الحب وهو المودة المقرونة بالرحمة وقد قال تعالى أقيب ذكره ما أحل لنا من النساء وما حرم منهن يريد الله ليبين لكم ويهديكم سنن الذين من قبلكم ما يتوب عليكم والله عليم حكيم والله يريد أن يتوب عليكم ويريد الذين يتبعون الشهوات أن تميلوا ميلا عظيما يريد الله أن يخفف عنكم وخلق الإنسان ضعيفا. سبحان الله. ابن القيم says as for loving the wives, there is no blame in that. I ask a person, do you love your wife? Hamad, you love your wife? Would you say yes?
If I heard one.
So I was asking a wrong person, right? So let me just have a clue that I shouldn't go and ask somebody else. Actually, we agree not to have this class if you don't upgrade yourself, right? And you insist that today we have that waddawa with no application, right? So he says a person who loves his wife, there shouldn't be, there is no blame in that. You know, they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who do you love the most? Qala Aisha. The first person he mentioned was his wife. He said Aisha. They said, we're asking you about the brothers. He said, Abuha. Yeah, you ask. He said, Aisha. They said, no, how about from the brothers? He said, Abuha, her father. So the Prophet ﷺ does that. That's mean it is okay for us also to do. And not just okay, but it's good. It's one of the essence, you know, that keeps the marriage intact. You know. Who loves words more? Who is very particular and concerned about words? Brothers or sisters? Salam, you don't have any. That's why brothers don't care that much about those words. Yeah, they say thank you. But for the sisters, it means a lot. That's part of the nature of the sisters in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them. They don't need to say, yes, it is like that, or no. They just keep talking. But that's how it is. Naturally, the one who is more emotional is the woman, not the man. You know, that's why words works a lot. Yeah. Unfortunately, you have many sisters. Before you hear a brother being deceived by somebody, those scammers online, you know, you hear hundreds of sisters being deceived. Yeah. I always wonder why. Why would a sister pay money to somebody that she doesn't even know who he is? You know? You don't need religion to tell you that this is against the common sense. Yeah. You will lie. You don't need religion to tell you, you know. Yeah. But they're just looking for somebody to tell them good words. And unfortunately, sometimes you have sisters who are having husbands. Yeah. It's a very serious matter that we have to really understand it correctly. You know? If there is no taqwa in the heart, she has a husband. We have a lot of cases like this. She has a husband, but she's looking for somebody else. Who can tell her good words? Why? Because the husband is absent. Yeah. He's at home, but useless in this regard. And she doesn't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so she will look for somebody to tell her those lovely words. You know? So this is against the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You should understand this, you know. And be concerned. And show care. And show that, yes, you are there. And they mean a lot to your life. You might not need this, but they need it. And inshallah, Ibn Qayyim is going to talk about this. A very simple, you know, thing to understand. If you do understand it, inshallah, your life with your family will be excellent. This one doesn't work?
It does.
The charge is very good.
Oh, okay. He stopped the flow of my class.
Sorry.
He wants to hear properly. Yeah, so we have to take lessons from others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them. Do what you are supposed to be doing. Don't force your family to go and look for somebody. Because if they don't fear Allah, the next option they have is to look for somebody who will tell them good words. And Allahu a'lam, what exactly will be happening, you know, at the expense of that good words they are looking for. قال بل هي من كماله وقد امتن الله سبحانه وتعالى على عباده. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that it is one of his blessings upon us that he creates. قال أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا. For us, from us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create أزواجا, spouses. From us. Because Hawa was created from Adam alayhi salam. قال الله عز وجل لتسكنوا إليها, so that you will be comforted, you know, with her or by her. And that means a brother cannot have the comfort and relax in this dunya without a wife. Yeah. Don't take it lightly, this is true. Whatever comfort you claim you are having, trust me, it's deficient. Your focus is deficient. Tranquility and peace of mind also will be deficient. Unless if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaces it with something else, like those great scholars, you know, who did not marry throughout their life, but they are just like one or two, three, you know. These are exceptions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to be busy with something else, but the rest, they don't. They go with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the rest of the rusul. Is that clear? Yeah. So there's a message for all of us, not to take it lightly. As long as you can marry and upgrade yourself and stay away from that, you know, state of slavery, of discomfort. Sorry to say, this is how it is. As long as you can do it as quickly as possible. Allah says, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, so you don't have second, sakina, and tranquility and peace of mind, unless if you have a wife. Not all, every wife, good one. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala place mawaddah, mercy, you know, and also love. Yeah, that's why the scholar said marriage is supposed to be based on love. And this is what the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. تَزَوَّجُ الْوَلُودَ الْوَجُودَ. Marry those who love you. forced marriages in Islam is wrong. You want your daughter to have this lovely and good life, but you send her to somebody that she doesn't like and she hates him. What are you planning for her? What do you expect her to get in that marriage? Stress and depression. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Nobody understands this except somebody who reflects properly. Yeah. And reflection result in action, right? Yeah. So can I conclude that most of my students are not? Anyway. You don't complete the blank. فَجَعَلَ الْمَرْأَةَ سَكَنًا لِرَجُلِ يَسْكُنُ قَلْبُهُ إِلَيْهَا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a woman second, tranquility of a man. يَسْكُنْ إِلَيْهَا قَلْبُ. His heart can only relax when he has a partner, you know, a woman as his partner. Good partner in marriage. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَهُمَا خَالِصَ الْحُبِّ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala connected between them through love. Because they are different, and sometimes different country, different race, different language, different cultures, you know, but they understand each other. You know, sometimes they will marry, even the language barrier is so big, you know. Husband doesn't understand the wife properly, and she also doesn't understand him properly. And they succeed also. Yeah. That's why, honestly speaking, throw away anything that tells you cultural barriers have impact in the success of a marriage. Wallahi, I'm telling you, these are all jokes. Yeah, just sit down and think for a moment and see that your culture in your country or wherever you live in. Do we have divorce in that place? A lot. And clashes and fighting and, you know, subhanAllah, everything is there, you know. And then somebody will come and tell you, no. Cultural barrier. You have to get from your family, you know, your cousins or your country. Why? Because you're going to face a lot of problems if they are not from your country. Okay, then, in my country, when people marry, how come we see them having problems almost every day? Because woman is woman. Is there any difference between the woman that is living in the last part of the world, you know, that which is living in, which one is it? Australia and another part of the world. Is there any difference between them? No difference, I'm telling you. If you ever think that there is a difference, you're wrong in your thinking. The same goes to the brothers. Man is a man. Wherever you find him, he thinks in the same way. That's why Sharia asks you to focus on. What are the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to focus on? Manners and religion. That's it. Manners and religion. The behavior is the same from both sides. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to focus on manners and religion. There is no place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says you have to go to your culture. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to destroy this claim, he married from any place, even from the Jew. You know who are the Jew, right? Even from the Jew, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has a wife. Very excellent and a good one. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for him the tayyibat. And that's how it is. And you have some of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the plan is also from Persians. It was a very successful marriage. That's how it is. So Ibn al-Qayyim says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed the mawadda and the mercy, you know, between the two spouses so that both of them can have what they are looking for. Get an idea? So the husband is looking for second, tranquility and peace of mind. And the wife is looking for, I have mentioned this a lot. Yeah, not that kind of protection that you mentioned. What is she looking for marriage? Huh? Attention. Something that is related to attention. Yeah. That's, what is that?
Affection.
What is that?
Affection.
What is that?
Oh, what is affection? Caring.
How do you define it?
Care to.
Somebody who cares. Somebody showing. That's why the scholar said what she's looking for. And for our scholars, Hafizullah, he says, sister is looking for what is known as a diff'u. You know, a diff'u? Okay. Did you ever feel cold in your life? And what do you do? You have a blanket at home, right? You put in. How do you feel from inside? She's not looking for what you're looking for, but looking for somebody who cares for her to believe that she's next to somebody who is concerned. One word is better than giving her the dunya and whatsoever in it. If she knows what she does, and she goes with her nature, that's why Ummu Zara said, after getting the second husband and the first husband divorced her in the wrong way, but she couldn't forget him. She praised him. She praised his daughter. She praised his son. She praised his dog. She praised his maid in the house. Usually when the divorce happens, people don't think about the good thing that used to happen in the marriage. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَنْسَوُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. After the divorce, don't forget those virtues and good things that used to take place in your marriage. Because people don't remember. The wife doesn't remember any good about that husband. He also doesn't remember any good about her. If he's good, he would not talk about her against. Because now she is not a wife. Even when she is a wife, he shouldn't. So now she is too far from him. She also the same thing. But they don't have any interest in coming back. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they shouldn't forget what was there between them. So Ummu Zara, she praised him. That means that marriage was really excellent, you know, in the way she cannot forget what exactly happened. And she married somebody who is richer than Abu Zara, who gave her more than Abu Zara, pleased her more than Abu Zara in terms of the dunya and the physical things. And he told her, use my wealth, you and your family members. Subhanallah. He said, this wealth of mine is not restricted to you. You can even invite your family to come and get whatever they want. But then she said, if I am to combine everything I got from this second husband, you know, she said, wallahi, the value of anything I got from this second person will never reach the value of one small plate, the smallest plate or cup that I got from Abu Zara. This is dunya, right? And this is also another dunya, but the way it is given, the way it is presented, the environment, the circumstance, you know, you can get something simple, which you bought it 50 cents. Trust me, which you bought it 50 cents. Yeah, the rest should close their ears. Don't listen to this. I'm just talking to these guys. Yeah, which were seriously, only 50 cents. Okay? Hamad and Sajjad. No, Hamad is... Who else? Nobody amongst you? Okay, Hamad and Sajjad. Yeah? Hamad got 50 cent thing. Since this one is lack of experience, but he got 1,000 thing. You know? But the way he prepared an environment in the house, trust me, the value of that 50 cent thing, you know, might not be seen at all. The way it is given, you know, the environment and the circumstance, the life in the house, has a lot of impact in that gift. So a sister who is living with somebody who is like this might, you know, praise what he give much more greater than what she got, you know, which is in abundance, you know, bigger than those small things physically. So please do understand this message, you know. Yeah, you need them. Yeah, especially in our time. Wallahi, you need them. You know. You don't have time to waste. وَقَدْ قَالَ تَعَالَى أَخِي بَذِكْرِهِ مَا أَحَلَّ لَنَا مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَمَا حَرَّمَ مِنْهُنَّ. And look at this conclusion after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about what is halal, what is haram about in marriages, which sister you can marry and which one you can't. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ مَا يَهْدِيَكُمْ سُنَنَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَيْتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ. All of these prescriptions are there given to you by Allah so that Allah will explain to you the method and the path to success. Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says marriage, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribe and talk to you in this way. He said this is part of the explanations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you so that you will be guided to that which will lead you to success. Wa tuba alaykum. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to forgive you and forgive your sins. Yeah, because it helps you to focus and to do the right thing. And that can invite the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu alimun hakeem. And this prescription is done by Al-Alim, Rabbul Alameen, the one who knows everything, and Hakeem, and the one who is the most wise, who placed things in their own proper position. He says, Wallahu yuridu an yutuba alaykum. Allah wants to accept your repentance. وَيُرِيدُ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الشَّهَوَاتِ أَن تَمِيلُوا مَيْلًا عَظِيمًا. But those who are not following the system prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they follow the desire, the shahwat, they want you to tilt and to stay away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, that's why they provide you all of those images, all of those bad things, you know, to deprive you from marriage. Those people who are busy with those things, when they marry, do they find marriage interesting? No. No. Because now he's going to be living with one person and get bored of her. What helps him not to get bored of his wife? Because he doesn't have experience with others. But his life is all with others, hanging around with this one, with that one, with this one, with that one. For sure when he married this one, he's going to stay with her, you know, 24 hours. He will get bored. And what is the next thing to do? To marry again. Another clash, another problem. He doesn't have anything to help him to do that. Then he will go and look for extramarital affairs. Please send this message to everyone. These things, this is what they do. They let a person, you know, after the marriage, not to find marriage interesting in the way he is thinking of it to be. قَالَ وَيُرِيدُ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الشَّهَوَاتِ أَن تَمِيلُوا مَيْلًا عَظِيمًا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to grant you relief. And man is being created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the state of weakness. So what makes you strong? To marry. Yeah, you have that partner will help you, inshallah, in your marriage. The husbands and the wife. This is how marriage should be done. Marriage is not about, what do you call it, romance? There is a word like this?
Romance.
Romance, yeah. Marriage is not about this. It's responsibility. It has a lot of this, but it is responsibility. Because this is not that which will make you happy all the time, because it has limitation. If you're thinking it's all about this, trust me, you're going to get bored of your marriage. Because you will get tired. She will get tired, you know. And both of you are tired. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is warning also from time to time, if the husband calls her, why would she reject? Yeah, that's a message to all of us, that people will get bored of these things, you know. There is something bigger in marriage, much more bigger than this. And that's the life between the two spouses in general. So he strengthened her and she strengthened him. The deficiency he has, she will fix that one. And the deficiency she has, he will fix that one. He has some issues, he come back to the house because he knows that there is somebody in the house to help him to fix his affairs. Yeah, that's why, as I said, don't marry a loser. You Allah, don't marry a loser, no matter how much pretty she is. And don't marry a loser, no matter how much pretty he is or handsome. Don't stay with him. It will increase your pain. Yeah, you need somebody who qualifies being a husband. So one of the scholars said, if you see a woman is focusing on that which a man is focusing on, definitely she will end up regretting marrying a loser. She will not know in the future who is the husband actually. Is she the one who... Yeah, there are some who are like that. And so Allah salam wa afiyah. Qala, yuridu Allahu an yukhaffifa ankum wa khalaqa al-insanu dha'ifa. Wa dhakara Sufyan al-Thawri fi tafsirihi an Tawus an abihi kana idha nadhara ila an-nisa lam yasbir. An Tawus an abihi kana idha nadhara ila an-nisa لم يصبر وفي الصحيح من حديث جابر عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه رأى امرأة فأتى زينب فقضى حاجته منها وقال إن المرأة تقبل في صورة شيطان وتدبر في صورة شيطان فإذا رآها أحدكم فأعجبته فليأتي أهله فإن ذلك يرد ما في نفسه. سفيان الثوري mentioned that Tawus said from his father that whenever he sees by mistake, a sister cannot be patient. And Jabir said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so those ones, you have to have a good expectation about them, because what they do is, they go back and grant themselves relief from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed them. And Jabir said, Ibn Abdullah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ra'a imra'atan fa'ata zaynaba faqadha hajatahu minha. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a woman by mistake. Okay? Accidentally. وَقَعَدْ فِي نَفْسِهِ. Because this is part of our nature. Yeah? That's why whoever says he doesn't have desire, all of those كَذَّبُونَ who tells you that we don't feel anything, One of the two things. Either they are women, but they don't know. That's true. Either they are sisters, but he doesn't know. He needs somebody to tell him, I don't know, call him brother or what, you know. You are a woman, you have to wake up, you know. Or they are just lying to us. Yeah. When a person realizes that he doesn't have desire, that means he has to look for medication, right? He has to look for medication because this is against the human nature. Allah doesn't ask you to stay away from having desire, but he asks you to use it properly. Yeah, that's it. And that is the only one way to get relief of this. This is marriage. That's it. Nothing else. And Allah made it simple, we made it difficult, we have to bear the consequences. Marriage in Islam is very simple. One of the simplest things to be done. In 10 seconds, marriage can happen. 10 seconds. زَوَجْتُكَ قَبِلْتُ عَلَى مَهَرٍ قَدْرُهُ كَذَا. How many seconds is that? 3, 4, 5 seconds. Finished. I remember marriage, the brother was asking us, finished? I said, yeah, finished. What else you want? Because he wants to see that. This person comes, this thing comes, you bring this one and go to this place, sit here like this, and they know you're not sitting properly, you know. The words also have to be pronounced properly and all of these things. Rajul. There's nothing in marriage other than the wali comes and the, what do you call the guy? Groom, that ugly name. Come, you should change this name to something else. That groom.
Groom.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. So that person comes and the wali comes, you know, and then that's it. The wife agrees, the boy agrees, that's it. They want to marry each other, finished. He just come and tell him, are you ready? Yes. Zawajtuka ibnati fulana, finished. The man says, qabiltu ala maharin qadru kada. Mahar that is to be paid, this is the amount of the mahar. The boy says, qabil. Finish. She become his wife. Nothing else. But we made it very complicated. You have to go this, you have to go that. That's why we are suffering. Waliyazubillah. Anyway, so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw a woman, you know, فَوَقَعَدْ فِي نَفْسِهِ فَأَتَى زَيْنَبًا. So he went home. He met his wife Zainab. And this also has a message to all of the sisters, those who married and those who are about to marry. That evil attitude that used to exist and is always in existence in marriages up to date, where the husband doesn't see the beauty of his wife unless if there is an event or they're going out. Many people complain about this. When he comes back home, this is the time for the kitchen smelling onion, garlic, and all of these things. Imagine he went out and he sees something that distracted him. He comes back and he hears nothing except those welcoming onions. And yeah, he will go back to the office. Where are you going? I have some job in the office. Better for him not to get angry with them. Yeah, these are serious matters, you know, that need of being fixed. Because tomorrow, if he is to get annoyed and look for somebody else, who's the first person to get hurt? She. And subhanAllah, I'm telling you the truth. Many of them, after this, then they will start saying, we will change, we will start to change. Why? Why? Why can't be, us be honest to ourselves, you know? Anyway, so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went back. Why did he go back? Because he knows that there are people who are responsible in the house. And they know their job. You know? So when he went straight forward, he knows where to go. He went to his wife. Most likely this is the one that he was with at that time. He went to his wife, Zainab bint Jahsh. وَقَالَ فَأَتَ حَجَتَهُ. So he got relief from his need. وَقَالَ إِنَّ الْمَرْأَةَ تُقْبِلْ فِي سُورَةِ الشَّيْطَانِ. And then he says, a woman usually comes in the surah of shaitan. Did I read it correctly? Salam. Okay. If I did not read correctly, you can remind me. Okay. قَالَ إِنَّ الْمَرْأَةَ تُقْبِلْ فِي سُورَةِ الشَّيْطَانِ. He says, a woman comes in the image of shaitan. What does that mean? Like those criminals who says a woman is shaitan? No, not at all. But shaitan knows that man cannot be patient. As they mention about that person, right? When he says woman, he cannot be patient. Everyone is like that. But just Islam is there, shyness is there, dignity is there, honor is there, good manners are there. That's why people, good ones, are controlling their desire. and their emotions, right? Their feelings, right? Those who cannot do that, they will express it and use it in the wrong way. Is that clear? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Shaitan, since he knows that man cannot be patient, you know, and that's the truth. You know, the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they want to plan against the Muslims, who are they using? Actually against the world in general. They use women. Wallahi, up to date, they use women. How many times you see, okay, now you started seeing some of the serious advertisement, but how many times you see advertisement that that they brought brother with no proper clothes? Smiling to you. Maybe nobody will buy. Yeah, true? Yes, but the vast majority of the those adverts, who are they being presented in? Salam, who are they? Women, right. And why did they put women in it? Just because they love women? They want to promote them? No, they want to attract the market. Yeah, I wish sisters will understand this, you know. They want to attract the market. Yeah, because only with them, you know, man will get lost, especially the shabab. People are buying what they don't want, you know. People are buying what they don't want to buy because the one who is selling is a woman. Good words, nice words. He will not bargain that much. He's enjoying those speeches, you know. She's selling her honor and dignity so that she can attract him to buy what she is selling. His sister told the brother that how come the brothers are always cheated in the market? When the sisters goes and buy, they got the good price. He said, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. True or false? True. Yeah, because there is a compensation, you know, they are compensating those people. Man doesn't have any compensation, you know. That's why he fights you as much as he wishes. If you don't want it, just go. For her, no. He wants to continue with that conversation, you know, enjoying, and then he will give her the price she's looking for. Sisters have to understand this. So what is meant by tukmil fi surat shaitan? It doesn't mean that she's shaitana. La wallah, abadan. No difference between a man and a woman in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. But shaitan knows this attraction that exists between the two. And man cannot be patient, you know, when they see a woman. So he is coming. Whenever she comes out, shaitan will come. Making her looking more prettier than the way she is. So that the brothers would get lost. That's the meaning of تُقْبِلُ فِي سُورَةِ شَيْطَانِ وَتُدْبِرُ فِي سُورَةِ شَيْطَانِ فَإِذَا رَأَهَا أَحَدُكُمْ فَإِذَا رَأَ أَحَدُكُمْ إِمْرَأَةً فَأَعَجَبَتْهُ فَلْيَأْتِ أَهْلَهُ فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ يَرُدُّ مَا فِي نَفْسِهِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whenever somebody sees what catches his attention from another woman that is stranger to him, he should go back to his family. Because that would help him, you know, to get relief and to forget what he saw. In some narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, what this one has, his family also has. Elsewhere, somebody was right when he says, there is no ugly woman. Only a smart person understand this. So Rasulullah ﷺ said, فَلْيَأْتِ أَهْلَهُ, let him go back to his family. Question, if he doesn't have one, fast, right? She should start fasting from that time, right? قال ففي هذا الحديث عدة فوائد منها الإشارة إلى التسلي عن المطلوب بجنسه كما يقوم الطعام مقام الطعام والثوب مقام الثوب ومنها أن الأمر بمداواة الإعجاب بالمرأة المورث لشهوته أو المورث لشهوته بأنفع الأدوية وهو قضاء وطره من أهله وذلك ينقض شهوته لها وهذا كما أرشد المتحابين إلى النكاح وكما في سنن ابن ماجة مرفوعا لم يرى للمتحابين مثل النكاح فنكاح المعشوقة هو داء العشق هو دواء العشق الذي جعله الله دواء شرعا وقدرا وبه تداوى داود عليه السلام ولم يرتكب نبي الله عز وجل محرما وإنما تزوج امرأة وضمها إلى نسائه لمحبته لها وكانت توبته بحسب منزلته عند الله وعلو مرتبته ولا يليق بنا المزيد على هذا. And actually this is one opinion which we said it is the weakest opinion. Actually it was just based on the judgment between those two people who visited Dawood alayhi salam, not about marrying somebody else. So he says the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this hadith guided us towards that which will give us comfort. You know, when you see a food, you know, and you enjoy that food, what do? To relieve yourself from that strong interest, you know, that you have towards that food, look for food like that, right? You know, so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told you that if you see a person who is not halal for you and you got attracted, go back to your family. Go back to your family. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked you to use the best medicine to give yourself relief when you are attracted by a sister. And that's why they said those people who are suffering from ishq, what is the best remedy for this? Marriage. There is nothing that can help ashiq towards that ma'shuqa. That is better than to let them marry. There is a hadith that says this, although this hadith is Sahih al-Albani, okay, alhamdulillah, it's an authentic hadith. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is nothing that solves the issue of ishq for those people who love each other better than the marriage. So, and then he quoted that old story that we have mentioned about Dawood alayhi salam. When he got attracted, what did he do? He married. You know, he just go and marry that woman. But this is also a weak opinion. The correct opinion is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blamed him because he started judging those two brothers before he listened to the second person. One of them just mentioned his case. Before listening to the other one, he started releasing the verdict. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blamed him because of that. You get it? Not because of what Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned or some of the Mufassirin, rahimahumullah. There was no case as this. You know, we have to, you know, free Anbiya'ullah Azza wa Jalla from this. Dawood never did anything haram. Just like what Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned here. Okay, so when you come to this story, you should remember that the story is about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. They came to him and he says, إِنَّ هَذَا أَخِي لَهُ تِسْعٌ وَتِسْعُونَ نَعْجَةً وَلِيَ نَعْجَةٍ وَاحِدَةً فَقَالَ أَكْفِلْنِيهَا وَعَزَّنِي فِي الْخِطَابِ. So Dawood started releasing the judgment before he listened to the other side of the story. And in Islam, when two people complain to you, you cannot start judging before you listen to the other one. Somebody came to Ali bin Abi Talib and he says, Ya Amir al-Mu'minin, you have to do qisas because this person destroyed my eyes. He came to Umar. And then Ali bin Abi Talib told him, he says, yeah. Umar says, yes, qisas. Ali bin Abi Talib says, no, we have to bring him first. We have to bring that guy first to see what happened. To listen to the case from his side. They brought him and they found him. He lost both of his two eyes because of that guy. So now, what are we supposed to do? To destroy the other eyes of the... Yeah. So in Islam, when you are a judge, you cannot start judging until you listen to both of them. And then you start thinking of what to do. قَالَ وَأَمَّا قِصَّةُ زَيْنَبَ بِنْتِ جَاشِ فَزَيْدٌ كَانَ قَلْ عَزَمَ عَلَىٰ طَلَاقِهَا وَلَمْ تُوَافِقْهُ وكان يستشير النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في فراقها وهو يمره بإمساكها فتكلم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه فكلم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه مفارقها ولا بد فأخفى في نفسه أنه يتزوجها إذا فارقها زيد وخشي مقالة الناس إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تزوج زوجة ابنه فإنه كان قد تبنى زيدا قبل النبوة والرب تبارك وتعالى يريد أن يشرع شرعا عاما فيه مصالح عباده فلما طلقها زيد وانقضت عدتها منه أرسله إليها يخطبها لنفسه فجاء زيد واستدبر الباب بظهره وعظمت في صدره لما ذكرها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فنادها من وراء الباب يا زينب إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يخطبك فقالت ما أنا بصانئة شيئا حتى أؤامر ربي وقامت إلى محرابها فصلت فتولى الله نكاحها من رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم بنفسه وأقد له النكاح فوق عرشه وجاء الوحي بذلك فلما قضى زيد منها وطرا زوجناكها فقام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لوقته فدخل عليها فكانت تفخر على نساء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بذلك وتقول أنتن زوجكن أهاليكن وزوجني الله من فوق سبع سماوات هذه قصة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مع زينب. So this is how Ibn al-Qayyim understand the story. However, if you look at the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala summarized the story, which means Allah wants to destroy this aqidah of the tabanni, you know, in the wrong way. That if a person, you know, adopted a child, that child becomes his biological son. Yeah, in the sense, if this boy is to marry a woman and he divorces her, you, as a person who adopted that child, you cannot marry his ex-wife. Why? Because they see it as you marrying the wife of your son. You know. So Zayd married Zainab bint Jahsh. And unfortunately, the marriage doesn't work out. They have a lot of issues, so he doesn't agree to stay with her. Doesn't tolerate the behavior that he sees from her. So he used to tell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, that he is planning to divorce. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to ask him to be patient and to keep his wife. Yeah, why was that? Most likely because of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knowing that most likely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him to marry. So he wants to prolong that. So he used to tell him, please keep your wife, keep your wife, keep your wife. So until the last minute, Zayd ibn Haritha told him, Ya Rasulullah, I can't. I'm going to divorce her, will I put. And he divorced her. When he divorced her, according to what we have gotten from the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to marry. And he told him, he is zawjatuk. Yeah, no, that's it. Not that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is thinking of marrying her if Zayd is to divorce. That doesn't seem appropriate. You know, fitting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But these are our scholars. They have their own knowledge and the way they get things. But the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to us is very simple and very brief. And that's what fits Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to marry Zainab? Because if that marriage happens, this will be the destruction of that culture. You get the idea? Because sisters will be in trouble because maybe she has interest to marry that person. Yeah, because he is not related to her husband at all. There is no relationship between them, except that he was the person who was so kind to the... Assalamu alaikum. Salam. I keep to you. Move forward. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very kind to Zayd ibn Haritha. But what is the connection between Zayd and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Nothing. No nasab, no nothing, you know. Except that he was so kind and he adopted him and took care of him. And that's it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to destroy that cultural practice of the Arabs that if you adopt a child, when he divorces his wife, you cannot marry that wife if she's interested in going with you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed using the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because he's the center. If he does something, we all watch. And it will be easily, you know, spread among the ummah much more than when it happens with somebody else other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she's your wife. Case closed. SubhanAllah. So she used to tell the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when they're talking, you know, we're like this, we're like that, she would say, Zawwajakunna ahalikunna. Who was there in your marriage giving you to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Your family, your father and this and that. As for me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the one who gave me to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who can compete with her in this? Nobody. As far as marriage is concerned, nobody can compete her in this. However, in terms of virtue, of course, Aisha radiallahu anha is much better than her. You know, Aisha is better than her, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that Aisha is like the best. Even some scholars mentioned that she's even better than Khadija. Although that's Allahu alam weak opinion, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it very clearly that Allah never replaced Khadija with something that is better than her. I think that's the end of discussion. We are not told about a woman that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an angel to say salam to her, except Khadija. When Aisha said, Allah replaced her with the best, he says, no, la wallah. Allah never replaced Khadija with the best. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the best among the sisters are four sisters, right? Asiya bintu? Muzahim. Ana. And Maryam bintu? This one everyone knows, right? Maryam bintu Imran. Asiya bintu Muzahim. Maryam bintu Imran. Khadija bintu? If you fail this one, I think we should take you to kindergarten. Khadija bintu Khuwailid, and the last one is? No. You see, even this one they have doubt. I thought this is one of the ABCs in Islam. You know? Fatima bint Muhammad. Yeah, these are the four best sisters that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever created. He says, كَمُلَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ كَثِيرُونَ وَلَمْ يَكْمُلُ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ إِلَّا أَرْبَعَ. You have a lot of brothers, you know, who are so perfect and excellent. It's enough to know that all the prophets of Allah smart are from the brother's side. مَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا رِجَالًا وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ. Allah smart says from the brother's side. But from the sisters, he says the most complete ones are four. And those ones that I have mentioned. So you can see Khadija is one of them, and Aisha is not one of those ones. Wallahu alam. So in terms of marriage, nobody has a marriage like Zainab bint Jahsh. That's why she used to be proud of this, and nobody can say anything. You know, Allah is your wali. Allah is the one who says you are the wife to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's more than enough. That's something to be proud with. Hamad, I think you are not a good timer. We finish our time, right? Yeah. So let's stop here, bi-idhnillah azza wa jal, and we continue on Monday, right? Okay. Allah grant us good and tawfiq. No question?
Yeah, we have.
Hello. What is? Ada
Solan. Okay,
Sheikh. What is the definition of men by the Sharia? Men,
you said that they're loser men, so who are the proper men?
Loser males.
Males,
yeah.
So what is the definition of the real man?
Yeah, man, if you somebody is described by the Sharia, man, that's a person who has strong iman, good qualities and manners, very serious people, dedicated people who are very productive and beneficial to the community. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Rijal, look at the qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. Rijal la tulihim tijaratun wala bay'un an dhikrillahi wa iqamis salah wa ita'iz zakah. So you have male and you have man. Yeah. So a woman is looking for a man, not male. Do you get it? So somebody who has those qualities that Islam prays. But man is man. Literally, man is somebody who reaches the age of maturity. Yeah, starting from that, he's a man. Alas. But in Islam, whenever man is mentioned, a woman, you see great qualities being attached to that. You know. So we have a lot of male. But Rijal, Khalili.
Said in one part that like someone was mentioning his ex-husband, so like
someone was mentioning her ex-husband, and you said that like it's okay So there was no problem with that, but doesn't that like...
Yes, praising him, right?
Praising him. Doesn't it create problem with the prison one?
But that one, she's not doing it. Because now she's talking, most likely even the other one also is not there.
Oh.
Yeah, because she's describing the second marriage and the first marriage. Even if he's there, she wasn't doing it in his presence. And this is a narration, Aisha's narrating a story that happened in the Jahiliyyah.
So is it okay to praise his ex-husband?
Of course, if she wants to get out of the house of this current one,
one,
she should talk about the other one.
Oh, in terms of that situation,
yeah, he's going to tell her, okay, go to him. He will never relax to know that his wife is thinking about somebody else. Even to know that she's thinking about
goes against
about
the gaira, right? Like it goes against the gaira for men to...
Of course, of course. He has to, actually. It's not good for her. You know, it's not good for her to talk about the previous husband in the presence of the current one. If he's okay within his mind, he would never tolerate this. You get it? You know, so she shouldn't. Even if she remembers what he did, she shouldn't talk about it. Just keep it within herself. And it's better for her not to do, to be patient with her marriage, and to do everything possible to fix this marriage, the current one. It's not good for a woman to keep on going around. Long ago, one of the scholars said that the sister lost her husband, and she cried. So they asked her to be patient. She said, no, it's not about losing him only, but it's about also now I'm going to go to somebody else. I don't want to be exposed to many people. It's okay, halal Islamically, right? But that tells you a lot, you know. Those good manners that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed naturally in the sisters, when they function, people think like this. She's going to marry, but she's just crying that now she is going to be forced to, not forced by somebody, but naturally she would need somebody to be with.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. I have a question. Someone has a property and the property is not benefiting him right now. And he asked if he... should I continue? The brother has a property and the property doesn't continue benefit him right now. And he just waits that the property gains wealth. And he asks if he needs to pay zakah for this property, even though he is in debt in some other brothers.
What is this property that he has?
It's a farmland property. Farmland.
A land?
Yeah, you can't build on it.
He has to save his money or to do the farming, right?
Yes, right now it's not used. He doesn't benefit. Yeah, it belongs to him.
He's intending to use it in the future, right?
He intends to wait that it gains in wealth and later on sells it.
Price of the land increases with time, then he sells it.
Yes.
What was his intention? Intention is to buy and sell lands or to keep it for himself, but maybe later if somebody can offer him good price, he might sell it.
Yes, later.
No zakat in it.
No zakat.
No zakat. If he owns the whole in Malaysia, no zakat. There is no zakat in lands. Unless if a person buys them with the intention of selling them, you know, taking them as urud tijara. Urud tijara, these are the things and the items you buy and sell. Okay, I buy land and sell, and buy another one and sell. So this land is urud tijara. Ard, I mean urud tijara. So at the end of the year, I have to get the estimate, the cost, you know, market price currently, how much it worth, and then I give zakah from the value. If somebody just buy a land or buy a house with the intention that inshallah in the future if he can get somebody who can offer him something good, you know, he will sell it, no zakah on it. Even if he has hundreds of them. You know.
Barakallahu fikum.
Ameen.
Sheikh, yes.
some people, there's some women who get into marriage and they are mistreated for a long time, I mean, while they're with a person.
By the husband.
By the husband. Mm. So the only reason they are staying there is because of their children.
Children.
So what is the, what should these people do?
I would advise them to keep being patient. You know, divorce is not good unless if it is necessary. But if it reach situation that she's going to lose her akal, because there are some sisters, if you see them, it's like Majaneen. She cannot focus anymore. You know, see somebody who you know that this person is suffering from psychological problem. And all of these are happening because of the husband. I will advise her to leave that house, even if she has 1 million children in the house. Her health is more important. What is the point of she becoming Majnuna in a marriage? What is she going to benefit? The kids also will not benefit. It's better to stay away from them and support them from far distance. But in the normal circumstances, which she's still okay, I would advise her to be patient and try to identify what exactly is the problem between. Because sometimes, honestly speaking, she is the cause. Sometimes the husband is very wicked, cannot be pleased by anything. Do you get the idea? These type of people, she just have to keep on doing istikhara and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to support, to change his heart. But there are many cases which she is the cause. And nobody can solve this one except her. Yiwallah. And then, subhanAllah, you know, in this life, trust me, she only need to do a little. Yeah. To please man, is it difficult? No, it's not. Wallah, it's not. You know, sisters can close their ears. Don't listen to this. It's wrong to listen. Yeah. Man is Tiflun. Okay, let me save my life. I want to survive. I don't want you guys to kill me. But exactly, it's just like, you know, a big person, but to cool him down, you don't need that much from the sister side. To convince Sajjad, you know, I'm convincing Sajjad, I need huge mountains of words and things, you know, and shouting and doing things, but his wife is not like that. Everyone is like this in this life. If she's smart, you know, and she's going to use that nature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her, a wife doesn't need that much to cool down the husband and to change the nature of the house. That's why if you see a husband changing, trust me, the wife changes. So what I'm saying is we have to be realistic also sometimes. We look into the cause. What is the cause? Stop being arrogant. Understand that marriage is responsibility. Let us cooperate, you know. She and the husband, they cooperate together to make a success. That's how it is. She makes him happy. Try to trace what he wants. You know, try to understand what exactly this man wants. Aisha radiallahu anha said, I was badly affected by the words of Zainab bint Jahsh. Zainab came when she was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine somebody hurting your feelings and saying whatever he wants in the presence of the closest people to you. You have a best friend visiting you. He's the closest friend to you. And he has been away from you. He's living in another country. So now he comes. You're sitting with him and then somebody came and started talking against you in his presence. How do you feel? SubhanAllah, so bad, you know. So Zainab was talking to Aisha and against Aisha in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was just watching. He was just smiling. Aisha said, I'm tired of this word, you know, I guess it's too much. But then she said, I'm living with her love, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She said, before I reply, I was going to reply, then I remember that, no, I'm in the presence of Rasulullah. Let me make sure that I did not mess up something. And wallahi, this is very important because there are sisters who are messing up their life because of something they can be patient, which the husband doesn't like. Maybe in their relationship with the kids, the husband doesn't like. And she can just be patient, but she doesn't want. And then do whatever she wants with the kids and open a new door between her and the husband. You get it? And she doesn't relax. But Aisha said, I look at the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam first. She said, لِأَرَى هَلْ يَكْرَهُ أَنْ أَنْتَصِرُ. She said, before I reply her, I first look at the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to see does he mind if I'm to reply her? Subhanallah. Which woman does this on earth? You know? To check always to see the mood of the husband. Is he okay with what I'm doing or not? And wallahi, it's not humiliation. That journalist who asked those young girls in Saudi long ago, and she was trying to convince them that they are oppressed by the community. How come whenever you're going to go out, you have to ask your husband permission to know? One of them told her, no. Who told you this is a restriction? You know, subhanAllah, very good statement. She said, yeah, this man is responsible of me. He's responsible. Allah will ask him about me, you know. Parent also will ask, the community will ask. Yes, he said, it's his right to know where am I going. Can I just go out of the house just like that? And he doesn't know where I go. Why do you see it as slavery or some restriction being placed? And subhanAllah, this is the correct way of thinking. So Aisha said, I look at the face of Rasulullah to see whether he minds or he doesn't mind. She said, when I realize that Rasulullah does not mind, if I reply her, then I start replying. And he was okay with that. But that's a message actually she was sending to all of the sisters. Your life, your family life is the most important thing, much more better than your house. Thinking that when she goes back to her father and their mother, life will be okay, trust me, will never be okay. They also get bored of seeing her. She knows that, and they know that. She will be more depressed staying with them than when she is with her children there. Yet so, patience is good. And doing the right thing. So back to the question. My advice to her is to be patient. If it doesn't reach that level of sickness, if it's reached the level of the sickness, she should complain to her parent first. You know, because I don't advise a person to get his parent involved in his marital life. Yeah, this is very wrong. No matter what, solve your problem with your husband and with your wife. Do not let your parent know about that. When you meet your parent, they ask you, how's your husband? Oh, mashallah, life is good. Alhamdulillah, he's okay, fine. Maybe he just now they fought, you know. Just tell them it's okay. They will be happy, they love him, and they will contribute to the success of the marriage. Yeah, and he also, when they ask him, how's your wife? Oh, mashallah, this woman, she's really patient, doing the right thing. Alhamdulillah. Yeah. Don't let them know, unless if it is critical. And there is no way for you to resolve it except if they know, then let them know. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, let them understand the situation. Maybe they can do something to resolve it. May Allah grant us good.
Amen. Sheikh.
I have a question to this question. If she is at the stage,
if she is at the stage where she loses her mind and then a divorce happens, what is Islamically the ruling for the children after the divorce happened?
The one who can take care of them, if she is not capable, you know, doesn't fit, then the custody will come back to the husband because he deserves that. If she's okay, the one who deserves the custody of the younger kid is the wife, automatically. Rasulullah said, "Anti haqqu bihi ma lam tatazawwaji." He said, you are the one who deserve the custody of these children as long as you do not marry. So when she married, then the custody comes back to the husband. Unless if he agreed to let the kids stay with her.
Okay. And if the divorce happened because the husband was very abusive, for example, so that the kids and the wife...
Mother.
And the mother of the kids divorce, and they get mentally like issues because of the abusive for the years. So Islamically, does the state give a like
custody to some amongst the family members?
Yes.
Yes, they have to actually. It is haram for the judge to let them stay with that person who is abusive. It's haram. Right of the children must be preserved. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving the right to the wife? Because those children at that age, they need who?
Mother.
They need the mother. Give them to the father, what can they get? Death. Yeah. So they need the mother. That's why they have to go to the mother. That's why if the mother is not a Muslim, who takes the custody? The father. He got this from an event quoted by Ibn Qayyim that there was a case of the husband converted to Islam and the wife is refusing it. And they have a child. The child can walk. So the custody in Islam goes to the mother. But now the mother is kafira. If she is taking the custody of the child will be kafir. And we have to protect the maslaha of the child. And the biggest maslaha the child has is religion. But now what to do? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said we give a chance to the baby to choose. The boy, who is he going to choose? The monster in the house? That's the father. Never choose the father. He will choose the mother. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said let's give him a choice to choose one. They brought the boy. And the boy comes and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, this is your father, this is your mother, choose one. And the father is there, the mother is there, you know. So the boy went to the mother. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahumma hdi qalba. Ya Allah, guide his heart. The boy made a U-turn. He came back to the father. So Ibn Qayyim says, from here we learn that it's wrong to send him to the non-Muslim. Because sending him to the non-Muslim is misguidance. And misguidance doesn't have place in our Sharia. How do we know that? He said, Allahumma hadi qalba. Ya Allah, guide him. He did not say, Allah, take him to the husband. He said, Allah, guide him. Allah brought him back to the husband. That's me going to her is misguidance. So he came back to the guidance, which is to be with the husband. So the same goes to anyone who is there, and we know that if we give the custody to this person, he's the worst gangster in the bad one in the community. You know? We give him the custody? No, we give the wife. Yeah, let the children go to the wife. Their aqidah will be preserved and their tarbiyah will be preserved. Wala karama, until he repents, then they come back to him. Or when they grow older, they become big, then they make a choice for themselves. Yes, Mazin, have a few seconds.
The first question by Sister Ariba. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Can a sister who is menstruating perform i'tikaf?
The point is, where does she stay if she does i'tikaf? According to the best opinion of the vast majority of the scholars, she's not supposed to stay in the masjid. Masjid. Yeah. Not places like this. Places like this is, I mean, they wouldn't play football here and there. And everything, Allah guide them. But the masjid, a place which is established for prayer, like Masjid Shah, and she shouldn't stay. That's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is the opinion of the vast majority of the scholars. And i'tikaf cannot be except in masjid. So what does she do? Stay home. Yeah. Stay home and do whatever she can do. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward her intention. Bi'iznillah azza wa jalla. She shouldn't worry at all. Yeah. Bi'iznillah azza wa jalla. Just go home and stay and do the right thing. Quran, dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doing anything else, you know, if she has a husband, invest in house activities. Yeah. Every single thing she is doing to bring happiness to the house is counted for her. You know. Next question.
Next question, Sheikh. By Sister Zoya. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
If we cough and swallow, does it affect our fast or are we supposed to spit?
If we
cough and swallow, does it affect our fast?
Or as long as it doesn't go out of the mouth, it doesn't affect the fast. It's better to spit it out, to go out of the controversy of the scholars. But the best opinion is the one that says as long as it doesn't go out of the mouth, it doesn't break the fast. But it's better to take it out, inshallah.
Okay, Sheikh. Next question. If a person in their youth, maybe even before puberty or after, was in a state of janaba, etc., and was not aware that they had to do ghusl in order to pray, but they were fasting and praying in this state for months, maybe even years, what is he or she supposed to do?
Whatever pass, they just make wudu, you know, they just make ghusl and continue their life. What would you tell them? To go and start
praying and fasting for 10 years, I think 17,000 prayers. Yeah. Inshallah, they just take shower and take ghusl. And if they are in a place where they should ask, they should repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know.
Okay, Sheikh. Next question. If there is clear discharge plus some white discharge, does that mean she can make a ghusl, or should she wait for a full white discharge to do ghusl?
Whatever is called purity, which the sisters knows to be the purity, if she is sure that this is purity, either jafaf, dryness, or the qasat al-bayda, that clear water that comes after the period, yeah, this is the purity. They just take ghusl and continue with their life, inshallah.
Final question, should we take
it? If you were so speedy, I can answer them in 3 minutes, inshallah.
Okay, Sheikh, next question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If a woman missed her fast in first Ramadan due to pregnancy or feeding, and she has to make it up before next Ramadan, but she again couldn't fast before it due to feeding or pregnancy, so she paid fidya now.
She shouldn't.
Now, she could fast after the Ramadan, but she already paid fidya for the past one.
Fi sabilillah. She has to fast. Her job is not fidya. That fidya, inshallah, will be charity for her. It doesn't replace the fast. She has to fast after Ramadan, slowly, slowly, according to her ability, and also plan very well. As I said last time, as long as the nifas finished, I'm pretty sure these days we have a lot of alternative that can help a sister to maintain her fast and also keep the milk for the child. It's just about good management. Don't let things to be accumulated and then you come and look for solution. You know.
Okay, Sheikh, next question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Regarding taking medicines to delay menses, can it be done for someone intending to do Hajj and the timing of the menses coincides?
At the first place, they shouldn't do. Yeah, at the first place, they shouldn't do. I really advise the sister to stay away from it. It is harmful to her life. Anything that changes the nature of a human being, which Allah SWT created them upon, because this blood, Allah SWT created it for wisdom and wanted to go out for wisdom. It's not good for her to change the system or to interfere. It might cause complications in the future. You know. But if she does, and the height doesn't come, then she just live a normal life. She has to fast, she has to pray, she can do everything in the Hajj, no problem. But at the first place, is it okay for her to do it? No. Just go for Hajj, you know, and do everything except the tawaf. Tawaf, you wait. And alhamdulillah, we have time in Hajj. Yeah. Tawaf, you wait until the time you're pure and then do it. What if she's not pure? And her visa finished. And the visa of the family also finished. And the government is not going to renew. And they are going to leave the country and they cannot wait for her. What does she do in this regard? She goes and make tawaf like that. Yeah? She doesn't need anything. Just go and make tawaf and that's it. And inshallah, the case is closed. La yukallifu Allahu nafsan. Is it a good solution? Very good solution. No need to go for any medication that might complicate her life in the future. Because sometimes they said it makes the height irregular. She used to have a very regular system that is okay. You know, every month she knows when the height comes, but now, no. It is not like that. Yeah. So I really advise the sisters to stay away from this. Just live a normal life. Our 3 minutes finish, huh?
We still have three questions. Should we go to the next class?
Can we delay them until the next class, inshallah?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much. May Allah grant you good and tawfiq and be with all of you. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.